Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Want to thank you for listening. Tonight, there may be just, you might only have me tonight. And if so, I know Apostle Miller, she's on a self-directed spiritual retreat, seeking the Most High in terms of where she is, what the Most High wants her to be doing in the near future. And that's why she's not here. She wasn't on any of her programs this week for that reason. And I thank the Creator for her. And I think that more people should do that, because the Messiah, he withdrew to a quiet place. I'm not sure if Apostle McIntyre would be on. I haven't spoken with her this week. Normally, we don't really speak to each other. And that's amazing about how when we come together, it's as if we have rehearsed, and we have not. Most of the time, we don't really know which specific issue that we'll be addressing that night, this night, this time, because we look at it, everything is so fluid. It's fluid. One thing that I learned when I was in seminary was that in my preaching class, we were taught that basically your sermon is never really completed, even after you give it. And why do we say that? Because everything is fluid. Everything changes. Situations and circumstances changes that people are faced with and that people are dealing with. So that's one of the reasons why the idea was put forth in our class as we discussed it. And whenever we look at things from that perspective, we realize how fluent this society is and how the Creator, what he created, his change is the normal. It's normal. But yet we want to sit around and hold on to something that we were given. And that's what we call tradition. I know I did. And one of the things that's what we will sort of discuss, have a conversation about change and tradition. And let us pray. Almighty everlasting Elohim, we come to you saying thank you. We give you thanks and praise for the opportunity that you've given us, the opportunity that you've given us to be able to reach across time and space, reach across households, and to spread your truth as it is written. And not as some theologian has told us, given us his or her interpretation, but we stick pretty much to the word. And we just thank you. Thank you for putting that in our spirit as we reach out to others. And we trust and pray that which we speak glorifies you. In the name of your beloved son, amen. Back to tradition and change. You know, as I was thinking about all of this a few minutes ago, a few seconds ago, it came to me how bound up we are. Those of us who are bound by tradition. Tradition. I used to tell people, I am a fourth generation Methodist. At that time, it had been Methodist Episcopal, and now it'll tell me it would be United Methodist. And, you know, I thought about all of that as I went to seminary and as I studied to show myself approved. That's one of the reasons I went to seminary. I did not go to seminary for that place to make me a believer. I went there to get an education, to study the word, and to so that whenever I sit with people who are educated, I will be able to understand where they are and be able to speak to their needs in a way that will be different from tradition. Tradition says, well, all you need is Jesus. All you need is just Jesus. And, you know, that's what I used to hear. And that didn't make any sense for me. I said, yeah, okay, I need it. How do I get him? And when I get him, what am I to expect to get from him? The Messiah. And I was really confused when I was very young. I would see the picture, and I had read the Bible. When I was in elementary school, I read the Bible through and through. And the image that's the written image of the Messiah was different from the actual image that I saw with my natural eyes. When I saw the person had straight hair, but the scripture said that his hair was like lamb's wool. And, you know, that was just one. I said, now, what's going on here? This character has long, straight hair. Lamb's wool is not long, nor is it straight. And it was hard for me to connect to that image. And then I remember in the book where I read, it said we should not create an engraven image. And just, again, it didn't make sense. But tradition, it made sense, tradition, because they say don't question the creator. Don't question. You don't really question the pastor. You don't question anybody about what they say about the Bible, about what's in the Bible. That's that tradition thing. And what does that do? That keeps you bound up. That keeps you in a position where you are not open to anything other than what's passed down to you. And then even the color of the Messiah that's in the Bible, in the written word, and what they call their holy book. The image is differently. Here we have a fair-skinned image of the Messiah, but that's not the way it is written. And whenever you think about all of this, you begin to wonder. And then whenever you look around and you see images of people, you see the people that image fits. Do you have a psychological thing then? Is it a spiritual thing? Or do you equate them all? People that look like that image as being holy, as being divine, what do you do? Now, that tradition is burnt into your psyche, burnt into your brain, burnt into who you are. Now, whenever you begin to peel all of this back, what does it say about you, who, about you and who you serve? And as I would sit there, as I grew older, and I would sit there in the pews and listen, I had lots of questions. Lots of questions. But they told me I couldn't ask. So how am I going to develop a relationship with something that I have questions about and I cannot ask questions? And tonight I'm just giving you my spiritual journey, how I got to where I am from where I was. I was bound up with that tradition, and I couldn't, some of it I couldn't even accept. Some of it I was close to being, I was agnostic. I was close to becoming an atheist because it just didn't line up with the word. The word that I was receiving didn't line up with what I read. And here I was in another dilemma now. If what I read is supposed to be the truth, what is it that I'm supposed to think about what it is that I heard and is hearing? And that sort of left me in a state of conflict. I was in an approach avoidance conflict state at that time. Yes, I said it. Approach avoidance conflict. I wanted to approach that tradition, I wanted to approach that which was written, what I read. But when I attempt to approach that, I was in conflict with what I was being told. And what did I do? I chose tradition over the word. Yes, chose tradition. Because what would I say? That's not what my grandma said. That's not what I heard. Oh, well, that can't be of the Creator. Because what I heard, I was told that that was the gospel truth. But what I read, that told me that that was the word of the Creator. So now, here again, like I said, I was in approach, avoidance, conflict state. I wanted to hold on, not wanted to, I held on to that tradition, that which I had heard, that which I was told. I held on to that as opposed to what I read. And what I read was in that holy book. And that holy book is what I was told that I am supposed to believe that. But again, if I'm told I'm supposed to believe that, but I don't hear people preaching that, I don't hear messages on what I read in the Holy Book, but I heard messages on man's interpretation of what was in that holy book. And I had gotten so that I didn't, anything that anybody read or talked about what Paul said or what Paul did, I completely disregarded it. Why? Again, what I heard and what I read was a misinterpretation between what they read and what they gave us and what they told us. Slaves, you must obey your master. Well, I had some issues with that because the master was not operating according to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. But the Creator told the people of Israel back then that he only requires three things, that they were to be just, show mercy, and walk humbly with him. Well, where I grew up, I didn't see a whole lot of justice, biblical, according to the biblical definition of justice, where you treat people, how you treat people, didn't line up with what the Creator said that he required. People were taking people's money. People worked all year, and come time for what they called time to settle up, they had no money. And they were shown how they got this and they got that, and a lot of the people couldn't read, nor could they write. So they were flim-flam out of their livelihood. So where is the mercy? That wasn't there either. I saw old men standing out under the tree at church just about crying because they went to call what they called back then, settled up. They went to do that, and they come back. They didn't get out of debt. And those persons at that time were Methodist Episcopal, the same as we were. They had the same holy book that we had. So how is it that their understanding of what was in that holy book allowed them to treat people the way that they treated them? And that's why I didn't deal with anything that I was told that Paul said. Not understanding that it wasn't the word, the gospel, that Paul preached or Paul taught or Paul wrote to the churches about. He was chastising them and disciplining them for their misinterpretation of the word and that the way that they were using the word. But that wasn't spelled out for us. They left it. Slave, you must obey your master. And basically, that's what we in our community, that's what we heard from them. Words have meaning now, y'all. But most importantly, words have meaning, but it's not what people were saying, it's what the listeners felt. I want us to think about this. Think about it. They thought that they were doing the right thing, maybe. I'm not going to sit here and attempt to try to understand why the landowners, they were the ones that was the slave masters, because the landowners have what they call sharecroppers, and the sharecroppers are the one that did all the work. But yet, the sharecroppers did not benefit from their labor. Let's just think about the word. How does the word speak to that situation? And we have to really get serious. Be serious about all of this. And what is it saying? And how are we to respond to what it's saying? Now, what we are doing here, we are taking a walk down, if you want to call it memory lane, my memory lane, and as to discerning how I got to where I am today. That was childhood. That was my understanding of what I was being told, my understanding of what I read, and what I read and what I heard was in conflict. It was in conflict. And as a result of that, one had to sit with the Creator himself. And whenever I started doing that, that's when I came into a level of understanding that moved me from agnostic to a believer. And because I knew at that time that there was a power greater than me, and I knew that that power came from beyond. And as a result of that, I was able to come into an understanding of the word that freed me from tradition. It freed me from tradition. And as I began questioning it, then I come into understanding is that, the word doesn't say that we can't question the Creator. At least my understanding of what I've read, and because of that, I was able to sit with it, with the word, and come into understanding for myself. And the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me what was true and how I could understand that which I had read. And it gave me meaning. And as a result of that, I moved from the state of agnosticism to one of the more of a spiritual believer. I not only understood, I not only read, but I began to really, truly understand what I read. And I understand it from the perspective of how the Creator's intent. The Creator laid out for me and for all of us, but also as we did our own interpretation, most of the time when we would do our own interpretation, and as we go down that path, we come into an in-depth understanding of the meaning of the word. And I could see the Creator, and I could accept what I saw, and I was no longer bound by that, what I saw, or what the Creator was saying. I knew the truth, and I began to speak the truth. So now, tonight, I hope there was something about my journey that someone heard, that they were able to gain some insight into their circumstances and their situations that they were being confronted with. And because my cohorts are not here, this is going to be abbreviated. Normally, I do a 30-minute message, and then with questions and answers. That's my format. And because nobody called in, well, we had one caller called in, and he dropped. And so let us pray. Almighty everlasting Creator, I come to you now saying thank you. I thank you for the call that you placed upon my life, and I thank you for those whose lives have been touched and lives have been changed, who can no longer accept tradition and the scripture, even though I didn't mention it, but your scripture, Isaiah 43:18-19. But you told us in that scripture, Heavenly Father, that we don't lean on the past. Because you are doing an old thing, a new way. And the question is, that you're asking us, you're asking, do we not perceive it? And it took me a while, Lord, to receive or perceive that you were asking questions and that what you were doing for us, for your glory, not ours. And I just thank you. I thank you for those who listen, and I ask that your Holy Spirit go on each and every one of the households that's listening. Let it go in there and give peace. Give peace. The same way that you put the blood over the doorposts and the death angel did not go into that household. I just give you honor and give you praise. In the name of your beloved Son, Yahshua. Amen. Amen. And for those of you who, we now do have a listener, a caller here. Let me open the mic and see. Good evening, caller. How are you?
I'm fine.
Well, good. You missed the body of the discussion points. Tonight, we will be we compared and contrast tradition and talked about how that tradition bounded us up as opposed to freed us. It made us, it kept us in a position whereby we were not able to understand or see the change that was placed in creation.
I hate I missed it, but it sounds like it was good. Great, really.
Well, what do you think about tradition and change?
Positions as change?
No, tradition and change.
Tradition and change.
Yeah, compare and contrast the two. What do you see?
Tradition leaves a lot of nuggets that help people to relate in many different ways. Change makes things different, but sometimes the perspective is lost. The two can be considered difficult for people depending on their age level and on their outlook. That's just my little opinion.
Now, let's go back here. You said something that's interesting. You said that tradition allows us to look at many different nuggets.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there are many nuggets in tradition that we don't sometimes realize that after some of the tradition is gone.
Okay. Would you say that tradition can also be a negative?
Yes.
I know in my case, tradition was a negative because I would tell you straight up, I am a fourth generation Methodist. And that's it. I'm not even dealing with anything outside of that spectrum. So I was in that little box, and I was going through life in that box. And I didn't look at anything outside.
But it depends on how deep people take the tradition, you know, that if it's unchanged ever, it had to be a certain way forever.
Yeah, that was my position. That was it. There was no change. I was not going to change. There ain't no point in you coming up in here talking to me about anything, because if it didn't relate to the Methodists, at that time, Methodist Episcopal, and then later on, it became United Methodist. I want to hear nothing the Baptists have to say. The Presbyterians, they were a joke because they're talking about predestination. And the Holy Rollers, no way. And you coming up here and talking about speaking in tongues and all of that, no.
Well, what did that do for you? Did that help you or hinder you?
That hindered me because I was in a box and I enjoyed being in my box and I refused to entertain or to accept anything outside of that box that I was in.
Well, Well, I still say that if it depends on how strict it is. Some traditions are treated light, not so as rigid.
Okay.
Because I knew friends who were in the Methodist denomination, and they had an air that they were better than any other denomination. And tradition didn't do it. I think more or less attitudes did it. It was almost like you had to do this, that, and the other to be a Methodist, regardless of where your heart was.
That was it. It had nothing to do with heart. It had to do straight up with the tradition. We did 60-minute worship on Sunday morning, and we were out of there. And that was one thing that we did. And we didn't, we did not have all of these taboos on drinking and smoking. And whereas the other denominations, they had all of that in place. And I saw how big a hypocrite they were, because when I got older, I saw them drinking, I saw them smoking, but yet they're going to tell me that I couldn't do it. Oh,
well,
and don't dance.
Well, I think my Baptist church was a lot looser than that.
Yeah.
I never felt that I was going to go to hell because I did something. I felt that I needed to change my ways simply because I was given better ways to be. Given different examples of better ways to be. From different viewpoints, how different Sunday school teachers and the like.
So
they,
you telling
gave,
me?
Yes, go on, sir.
I was going to say, you telling me that within the denomination there was a certain amount of change that took place, and that was important, and everything wasn't as rigid as those of us who are looking at it from the outside, and we're making our judgment based on what we saw. Because I didn't see any change at all in those denominations. The AME Zion, they were holy, holy. The Baptists, you couldn't drink, you couldn't dance. There were too many what I couldn't do. So I didn't want any part of that. But I'm listening to you, and in terms of being inside of there, it wasn't as rigid as I thought it was looking at it from the outside.
Right. It could have been more rigid. You know, it would be different from a Baptist church, from one Baptist church to another.
Yeah, well, now that part is true. See, my whole argument is that the Creator made change. Change is normal. And that if we're going to keep up, we're going to have to change as the time changes. And I'm not saying now that we ought to change the words as written, but life changes. And as life changes, we apply the word to those situations and circumstances that we are confronted with. And that's what stopped me from
change. Sometimes change is done in a, and it's change. We later found out that that particular change was not good for just sometimes change. If you don't really know the results of it, like now with kids and people on computers and on phones all the time, they're not interacting with each other. And the idea of loving each other, even loving themselves, it's always something outside of them that's more important. So when we do change, you know, we need to be sure, or try to be sure, the results of it. We just do it just because it's changed, and we don't look at the effects on it. Like I said in my table, the effects of integration on the disadvantaged child, and all of that has come to be. But nobody wanted to recognize that at the time the change was about to be made.
Yeah.
So that's why I said change just to change. There are things that change that we need to be aware of and know how to deal with. Because
yeah, well, that's true.
The results affect everybody in different ways, and it might be good for a little while, but in the long run, it might not be good.
Yeah, I guess that was the process that I went through. What you just described was the process that I went through that kept me from becoming an atheist. I went up to the point of being agnostic, but I realized that there was something greater, a more of a spirit being, not an individual, that had a direct impact upon my life. Are you driving?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so that's the background noise we hear. Okay.
I guess I was supposed to be on mute. All right. I'll think about those things you said, and I appreciate it.
Well, you have a safe rest of your drive, and thanks for calling in. All right.
All right.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Yes.